For those who've tuned in a little late, you're listening to Coins Plus or to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll free 877-TAP-COIN or through the website at coinsplus.com. I missed the recording on the first portion of that. And so basically I was talking about the history of nations, the history of our nation, where we're at right now, the teenage stage, and teenagers go through all kinds of identity crises, and we are there. You know, I was listening this morning to this stuff, we'll call it, from the NFL. These young players, sometimes I get my greatest point of frustration. I listen to the news, I watch the news, and there's sometimes I think things are so obvious to say, and no one says them, and it frustrates me. And one of those things right now is these NFL players keep saying that when they're kneeling to the national anthem, and they're saying it's not about the flag, it's not about the anthem. If it's not about the anthem, then why in the heck are you doing it during the anthem? The minute you do it during the anthem, it is about the anthem, okay? And they say, well, we just want to get the message out to people that think it's about the anthem and the flag. We want to get the message to these people that's not what it's about. Well, guess what? If everyone who watches you says, well, sure as heck it's about the anthem, because that's when you're doing it. You've got 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to protest, and you wait until they sing the national anthem, of what a great nation this is. And then you say it's not about the anthem. The heck it's not. And these guys think that Donald Trump, another thing that angers me is when he used the term SOBs, okay? For those of you who've been around, maybe a little bit older, this is a phrase from the older generation. Those dirty SOBs. You heard John Wayne use it. You heard Clint Eastwood use it. I heard my dad use it. I heard my grandpa use it. It's just a term that means, it means anything. It's just kind of a catch-all phrase of somebody you don't really like what they're doing. But it's not a term of just complete hatred. So they keep going, well, he called us SOBs. It's sort of like right now if he would have called them bad dudes, or rebels or whatever. It's just a term from his generation. Folks, we have hit a level of easy offense. And what I mean by that is we have come to a point that we are so pathetically easily offended. We are looking for offense. And Obama has taught his minority group, the blacks, I'm sorry, but he's taught them to look for offense, to be oversensitive. Is that a Christian response? To run around like an oversensitive baby looking to be offended. No. You know what that is? That is bullying. That's gang behavior. That's, hey man, you looked at me wrong. You dissing me? I'm going to pound you into the dirt. This is the gang warfare. I mean, these guys get where they're so oversensitive, they're looking for trouble. You know, you get a guy, I grew up in Montana, and before I became a believer, I spent some time in places I shouldn't. I'll admit, I spent times in the bars. I grew up on the streets. I fought. I was tough, and I was in the middle of it. And there were guys who just were looking for trouble all the time. That's what they would do. They would go out looking for trouble. And that is the spirit they carried with them. That is the spirit of the left now. Someone in the shop today brought me a coin that was a mockery of Bill Clinton. And it was blasphemous, and it was a nice-looking coin. Someone took the time to make the die and create it and mint it, and it was a coin that tried to make humor over his Monica Lewinsky situation, and it had some real, heavy sexual comments and connotations on it. And I was like, that is disgusting. It is disrespectful of the office of president. And it's an absolute atrocity that somebody would spend the time, energy, efforts, and resources to make that filth about our president. And then someone else said, well, isn't that interesting that you're consistent, that I don't care if you're disrespecting Obama his office. I don't care if you're disrespecting Trump or Clinton or whatever. There are lines you don't cross when you're dealing with the President of the United States. When you come to the left, the communists in this country, because that's exactly what they are, folks, is it's communism. When you come to the left, these folks have double standards beyond ridiculous. Now, one of the greatest things that frustrates kids when they're growing up in a Christian home is hypocrisy. If you want to blow your child out or grandchild, let them witness hypocrisy. If they see their parents preach one thing and do another, they will become bad people. They'll become angry, rebellious people. The left is preaching and living hypocrisy. They come to the rescue of Obama. They lie, cheat, and steal to protect him. Then they go to on the attack of Trump. They lie, cheat, and steal to destroy him. They are hypocrites. They don't stand for what's right and true. What is right matters not to them, folks. I said a long time ago, and I believe it, that the difference truly is, should be, from the right to the left, is the right believes in doing right and wrong. The left believes in winning at all costs, no matter what. They believe because they're fighting this social justice cause, they lie, cheat, steal, and spin. And when you are blinded from the truth, okay, when you are spiritually blind, you can't see the truth. And so they literally get so angry when conservatives are right that they want to hurt them. They don't stop and say, well, wait a minute. Why does what they say make so darn much sense? You know? And it just, you can tell, I just may be a little bit opinionated in this area. I'm becoming a bit jaded in my age. I'm becoming tired of this. I'm becoming frustrated and saddened. And I'm seeing things happen I just can't imagine. When I was a kid and I was a non-believer and I was living the wrong way, I remember one time having a discussion with somebody, and they said in the middle of it all, well, the Bible says this, okay? Here's the deal. I wasn't raised a believer. I didn't know God per se. I mean, looking back, there's a whole history there. God knew me. But when they said this is what the Bible said, I had this instant honor and dignification of it. It was the Bible. And I remember asking the guy, really? Wow. You read the Bible a lot? Do you know what the Bible says? The guy said, yeah. I said, you can read it? Yeah. I said, man, I've tried so many times. I can't read it. I don't understand it. And I don't remember what his response was, but I didn't have the Holy Spirit. But the point is, when he said the Bible says, boom, that was it. That was an era that's gone. I'm like talking old man stuff here, right? You know how they always say, oh, it was when I was a kid, things were perfect and wonderful. No, they weren't. People were people. But, and even, it's either Solomon or somebody says in the Bible, don't always say, wasn't it a lot better back then type thing. So we're not really supposed to do that. But on the other hand, it was. I mean, the times are changing so fast, folks. They're changing so fast. They're so legitimately changing. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here kind of dumbfounded by it. But when I watch this, Colin Kaepernick, you know, B-rate quarterback, big afro, and he's the one that started all these protests. Now he's suing the NFL for collusion, saying that these, you know, all these teams are working together to not hire him. Yeah, they kind of are. You know, the problem is when you choose to do this stuff, you choose to ruin your contract, and then you want to, what? I mean, why would anyone hire him? Do you know what will happen to the team that hires him? The only team that should hire him is somebody at the absolute bottom of the league because they probably need the attention. And that's it. They need the attention. If their attendance is already garbage, maybe it might go the other way. But anybody who's even near the top of the game, top 10 or 20%, shouldn't go near this guy. They will be lacerated. And the left-wing media, they love phony martyrs. They call, can you believe this? I can't. They're calling Colin Kaepernick a martyr. A martyr. I mean, think about this. A martyr? Think of the martyrs you know. I mean, when I think of martyr, martyr means a person who is killed because of their religious beliefs. They are killed because of their beliefs. And the media wants to call this guy a martyr. A martyr? This is how far we've gone. We have taken what makes sense to God and spun it around. We've taken what was true and made it false, and we've taken what is false and made it true. Does that sound familiar? I mean, this is all scripturally prophesied. You know, when we look at end times prophecy of what people will be like in the end times, and we look at it and think, wow, you know, that's just really extreme, you know. It's absolutely crazy that what people are going to be like in the end times. And it's, we're there. I remember being a young buckaroo and reading this in the Bible. I believe it's in 1 Timothy. Where it talks about, or maybe it's 2 Timothy. But I remember reading all these things and literally consciously saying, well, we're not there yet, right? And it's nuts. I mean, it's absolutely nuts to think of the fact that we are now in a position where I can look at this when it says in 2 Timothy 3, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be. Now, this is a laundry list, folks, and I'm sorry to... Lovers of self, okay? Lovers of money. I mean, you look at the world. What do we got? TV. TV, the media is filth. You've got to watch so closely what your kids watch. There's so much junk. So, lovers of self. What do we teach people to be more... you know, in touch with their feelings, to focus on themselves, to just look out for yourself. I cannot believe hiring millennials now. This emotional oversensitivity I've just discussed, this is rampant, okay? These kids are like, if they get offended, there was a set of statistics a while ago that came out of the percentage of kids that, you know, quit their jobs and left, and it was just through the roof by generation. By the younger generation. And their number one reason was they got hurt or offended by something that was said. It was like 40% of these kids. They're bouncing out of their jobs because they get their feelings hurt. They love themselves. And you know, when Jesus said, love your enemy as your, love your neighbor as yourself, the more you love yourself, the greater that challenge becomes. If you have died to self, if you have completely become a carcass, basically. You know, Romans 8 goes into that a little bit. When you have sacrificed your flesh and given it up, saying love your neighbor as yourself is not so hard. I mean, it's less hard. It's still, we're still human. We look out for ourselves. God put something in us. We take pretty good care of ourselves. Think of the energy and effort you put into protecting and preserving yourself and taking care of yourself. If you get hurt, you go get help. If you're in danger, you hide yourself. If you're hungry, you feed yourself. If you're dirty, you clothe yourself. You educate yourself. You learn. You give yourself relaxation. You send yourself on vacations, right? You take good care of yourself. Let's admit it. Christ is saying, do that for your neighbor. Care about them as much as you care for yourself. And that's a mindset that's tough. But he's saying here in the end times, we're going to be lovers of self. We come first. Lovers of money. We've got sort of the, you know, the get rich quick. We've got, we admire money so much. Oh, you know, the people we admire the most, they're billionaires, right? They're just the, oh, they're successful. They've got to be smart. They've got to have secrets. We need to interview people just because they're billionaires. Just because they have a huge bank account, they've got to be super smart. What a bunch of wisdom they're going to give us. Because they run a good company that happened to take off. Sure, they're exceptional people in their arena, in their niche. But we love money. You know, Solomon said money's the answer to everything. And now it is. He says, boastful. People become boastful and arrogant. Arrogant. I mean, just people are becoming super arrogant, rude, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. I mean, that's the one thing I'm seeing more and more with the younger generation. Ungrateful. Where's the gratitude? They can't say thanks. They get offended, you know, and I'm sorry, but I'm just rolling through the Bible. And then we get to the point, unloving. What is? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. You know, it does not envy. It is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't rejoice in wrong. We become unloving. You know, love is impatient and mean. It's arrogant. It rejoices in wrong. It wants to see bad happen to people. It's destructive, irreconcilable. This is what we're seeing, folks, in these left-wing protests. They don't even have a cause. And they're irreconcilable. You can't settle with them. They don't have a cause. They have no point of reconciliation. And one thing that makes me really mad is when you see the blacks marching and saying that they're of the same vein of Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a good man. He was a phenomenal, godly man. He wanted true equality. He wanted peaceful equality. He never intended to create riots. We had such angry white supremacists or whatever, and those, even using those terms now bothers me because they've just been so strung out. People throw the racism term and card around so excessively, it's ridiculous. So let's finish. How about malicious gossips? Let's just talk about the media. What do we see on TV? Malicious gossips. Malicious meaning with bad intentions, gossips, spreading things that are not true. Without self-control. Are we not seeing this more and more? Brutal. Haters of good. And we're seeing this more and more. Folks, this is coming to the forefront. This is what we're seeing. This is what the media covers. Haters of good. Antifa. They don't want tradition. You know, the Bible says avoid those who are given to constant change. We are supposed to adhere to tradition and respect our founders and respect our patriarchs. This is the whole point of communism. When you go through, and I still have a piece of paper over here with a list of the goals of communism, they talk about literally tearing down the statues, the memorials of those that made a significant impact on a nation. They want to destroy it and rebuild with meaningless forms. Here's one that says, continue discrediting American culture. Now, this is communism, communism's goals of how to take over the nation. Number 16 says, well, I'll go back up. How about, let's go on, boy, there's some good ones. How about we start at 11? Get control of the schools. Use them as a transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Number 12, gain control of all student newspapers. Number 13, use student riots to ferment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Number 14, infiltrate the press, which is huge, folks. Number 15, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Do you think communists and socialism have overtaken our media and our motion picture industry? I think so. Number 16, this is where I was going to start. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculptures from parks and buildings and substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. When you see all this shapeless, awkward, ugly junk they call art, realize this is part of the deprogramming. Okay, this is part of the brainwashing, taking away pride. When you go to old nations, I don't know if you've traveled the world much, but you go to these communities and they have buildings, and then in front of the buildings, they'll have statues of important people that fought and bled and died and stood and led meaningful rebellions towards good. But now they want to replace all that with meaningless, formless, shapeless voids of junk to just, it's meaningless. So you stand there and you stare at the art with this blank look on your face, and you try to act like you're intellectual, like you're contemplating your intelligence, when in really reality, you're looking at nothing. Now, we are like God. We are created in his image. God is a creator, okay? If we create junk, ugly junk, that is a mockery to God. Does God do that? I mean, if you see an asteroid, misshapen asteroid floating through space, do you say, oh, what a beautiful creation from the Lord, our God, our creator? No, you look at order out of chaos. You look at magnificence that he does, the impossibilities of what he's created. You're like, that's not even possible. It's so phenomenal. It's so incredible. He's so magnificent. And, you know, and they're all, it's design, and they're taking away all design and adding this, you know, this artistic attitude. Live on the edge. Don't be afraid to fail. I remember that in college art. Be willing to fail. Try to fail. You know, build, you know, create trash, and we will all applaud you. You do something phenomenal, and they're going to, especially if there's even a respectable trait of history in it, they will destroy you. So then we go on, 17, control art critics and directors of art museums. And then in quotes it says, our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. And this was from the director of the National Society on Arts in 1976. He says, our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. This is what they wanted to do with the National Art Museum. Ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. How constructive is that for our nation? 18, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. So people can become vulgar and foul and filthy. And then it comes in and it says, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV, while at the same time controlling hate speech. Folks, is this happening? I remember you go to college, you're away from your parents, and they throw books at you that are just vile. They're just filthy, vile, wretched trash. You're away from your parents. They want to impregnate your mind with gruesome images. And there were some books that I had to read in college that were just filled with imagery that was so heinous and so repulsive that those images are still stuck in my head. And it's sad. Russia and affiliated nations that are communistic have a heavy sexual deviance and a strong anti-woman attitude that we often overlook. They attack the U.S. only for our, quote, abuse on women. But these nations are, you know, these communistic countries are so disrespectful towards women. They see them literally as sexual slaves. And it it's trust me, it's I'm not exaggerating. There's a lot of evidence for that I won't get into today. It says number 20 of the communist goals, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. So they want you to become sexually promiscuous. They want, as at a young age, they want to, you know, they want to demoralize these children. They want to create deviance. They absolutely want to ruin any morality your parents may have put into you growing up. Then it goes 21, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual morality, which does not need a religious crutch. So this is a big one when you read it. At first it may go over your head, but infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Okay, so here's what happens. Revealed religion is the Bible. Social religion is what is basically the polls say. 57% of people agree that homosexual marriage should be approved by the United States Supreme Court or whatever, you know. And, oh, that's social. Well, geez, folks, if the culture is going that way, then by golly, we should do that, because I should sure would not like to see my congregation shrink. And so I'm just going to become all inclusive and I'm going to adopt all these different immoral beliefs, and after all, you know, 75% of Protestant pastors don't even know what the Bible says anyway. You've got all the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians and, you know, a lot of the Catholics, and you've got all these churches that are so organized, there's no Holy Spirit. You know, if they have a sermon that gets sent to every church around the world to be given on Saturday, March 14th or whatever, there's no Holy Spirit to guide that. I mean, sure, the word could help you, but they don't speak the word, etc. So you have lost touch at that point with anything spiritually led. So they want to tear out revealed religion and bring in socially acceptable morality, which is social justice, which begins to punish people for the social caste or class they're born into. We want to attack and destroy and discredit the caste system of India, where you are born into a social class, and yet in America now we want to adopt this. If you are born into, you know, whites, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, type family in the Hamptons, you're an automatic white supremacist. That's it. You're going to pay the price for all your ancestors. If you're born in the South, in a certain area, and your ancestors had slaves, then you are going to pay the punishment for that. They go on, eliminate, and then it says, and then it adds also, and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. So you don't need God. You don't need the Bible. You got it all in your head, man. What's true to you? What's right to you? That's all that matters. You don't want that. You don't want that stuff, that old ancient book, that thing. You serious? No, that's just old tradition. I mean, after all, let's go through it and look. Hey, look, it says here to stone people. Now, how ridiculous is that? Can we just be taking people out of town and stoning them? Of course not. So, of course, that Bible, that's just a foolish old book. We're far superior to that. We've evolved, haven't we, intellectually? We're way better. You know, obviously, I'm being sarcastic for those of you who don't understand. It comes on and it says, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools. Now, remember, this stuff was written back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. These were the plans which we've now seen implemented. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. That, my friends, is the greatest lie of all. I hope everyone out there knows that the only reference to the separation of church and state was written in a letter to a Baptist minister by Thomas Jefferson, telling him, do not worry one bit. The government cannot tell you what to preach, when to preach, or where to preach, or how to preach. There is a separation, he said, of church and government, where the government cannot impose any beliefs on you. The government does not have a preferred denomination. The government cannot say a word about your faith. If you want to be a believer and you want to do it in the saloon, or you want to do it in the streets, or you want to do it in the churches, or you want to do it in town hall, you have every single right. And then that has been misconstrued and lied. I have literally, on two separate occasions, heard men who claim to have to be constitutional attorneys, who supposedly studied constitutional law at very respectable universities, claim that the First Amendment has the phrase the separation of church and state. In one case, I heard a situation with David Barton where this guy literally lost a bet that it was in there. He admitted he had never read the Constitution of the United States. Now, you all know our representative, Matt Shea. He has the radio shows on Tuesday, Thursday. He is a constitutional attorney, and yet he will tell you they never once requested that they read the actual Constitution. They disseminated it to him. Now, how ridiculous is that? I mean, folks, I know that I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm telling you, this is such an orchestrated effort to impose communistic thinking on this nation. Churches have adopted a socialistic morality. If you are a successful businessman and you go to church, you better be ashamed. I have sat in churches, one Baptist church, independent Baptist church back in Great Falls, Montana, where I literally was shamed as a banker, shamed by the pastor for being a banker, for being a professional in my community. And I was very good at what I did. And I loved the Lord, and I wanted to glorify him. And there's, you know, it was more than that. But this is, and these are supposedly heavy-duty Bible-believing, you know, the independent Baptist churches kind of way out on the fringe. They're, you know, hardcore King James, period, only. And they believe that they carry the lineage of John the Baptist and that you have to be baptized through their church, no matter if you've been baptized in another one first. And it was a time of my life that I was just looking for a church that was doctrinally sound, and it was tough. They were very harsh and heavy. And you'll see different churches attract different personalities. Churches that are very verbally abusive to their congregants, where it's true hellfire and brimstone. I used to joke and say, you better duck because they'll throw Bibles at you. I mean, trust me, you folks know that listen to me. I love God. I love his word. But this stuff goes to an absolute extreme, where it becomes belittling, and it becomes the tearing down of God's people with guilt and remorse. And this is not what God is about. God is about abundance. He came that we may live life and live it abundantly. He is about edification. He is about love and peace and joy and patience and kindness. God is about liberty. And being verbally abused in church is not liberty. If you leave church feeling unreasonably guilty, I want to preface that, because if you've got some sin in your life that God is speaking to you about and you leave church with that on your mind, deal with it, okay? But I'm saying if you leave church just beat down, feeling guilty, feeling like you'll never measure up, well, kind of right. But at the same time, this is not, you're of no use to God. Anybody in any management program or leadership program knows that you have to uplift and edify people and build them up to bring the best out of them. No one operates long haul under, you know, heavy abuse. I mean, there's managers that do that. I've always understood that in the management world, when you see corporate leadership, there's two types, maybe many others, but two that I'm alluding to. Number one is the guy who wants to surround himself with the most successful people he can. He is not intimidated. He wants the most successful, wisest, smartest people around him. I like to think that's me. I would love more than anything to surround myself with people that are so much smarter and so much better and so much harder working than me that I learn from them. There is this second style of management where somebody wants to put their thumb on you. They want to control you. They want somebody who will have their head down and just say yes or no, sir. I've had to deal with employees who that's what they want. They want to be told exactly what to do. They want to be given a set of stipulations and tell them exactly what to do. They want to be direction followers. And even then, they can't keep up. But those people that live that way will never accomplish anything with their lives. They will always be substandard because they cannot bloom and blossom and grow in the way that God has made them. Now, you might look at the Daniels of the Bible and the Josephs, who I admire both greatly. Both of them, even David, when it came to Saul, both of them, all of them exercise an extraordinary level of submission and respect, but they still allowed themselves to grow in the areas that God had, you know, basically give them fertility. God plants these dreams and desires in our brains. And sometimes it's frustrating. I know for me as a business owner, God gave me a dream for this business. God gave me a vision. God blessed it. And it's hard sometimes when other people don't feel it or see it. But we all have that. That's why I say each of us has a destiny. God has planted in each one of you a specific purpose. And you know what that is. Now, I will admit, as a business professional, banker, you know, financial consultant of every sort, I have seen people make really stupid financial decisions. I saw a friend here recently who has a business that is just booming. He opened a restaurant a few years back. It's doing terrific. And he had a rent at a very wonderful location of like $1,500 a month. He's had the landlord now bump him up to $10,000 a month on a 15-year contract, and he thinks that he's getting a good deal because he's a bad business person. He is that's not a good statement. He's a bad negotiator. He doesn't understand. He says, well, I paid too little for a while, so now I've got to pay too much to get a longer contract. Longer contracts should give you a lower rate, not a higher rate. But anyway, it's a matter of wisdom. That we need to reach out and seek the wisdom of those that know better than us, and then we need to trust and rely on them. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. It holds true for every one of us. We really struggle to try to understand things. There are some people who by nature in business have developed a skill where they just want to absolutely extract as much information from somebody else about any topic they want to know. I believe, from what I've heard, that Donald Trump is this man. This is why Donald Trump brings so many people into the room and asks them so many questions. And everyone says he's respectable and he listens. Well, they said he often doesn't act on what he hears, but that's okay because he's taking in, you know, where the Bible says through many counselors, wise decisions will be made. And so we've got to be open to this. If you are having issues in your life, if you are having issues in a marriage, something really bad, and you have family members that know the Lord and they're wise, and you are blocking them out, you are not letting them pour into your life, you're doing yourself a disservice. If you know what they're going to say and you refuse to hear it, then you should probably open your ears and eyes and say, how can God even speak to you? God uses people around us, folks. That's his number one method. If you want to know what God says, listen to the people he puts in your life. He does it all the time. Go back through Scripture. Very few people get their straight revelation from God. Most of them are getting it from other people. And we've got to be open to that. So anyway, our communistic goals, right? Discredit the American founding fathers. This is number 24. Well, let's do 23. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. It's a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Why? Because the U.S. Constitution was created to start a new nation independent of other nations and without a king. Okay, when it says in Romans or Revelation 18 that I sit as a queen, yet I am no widow, And people don't get that. If they understood what how this nation was formed and how badly the people wanted George Washington to become a king, and he's like, are you kidding me? No. And it's really important that it says we sit as a queen, which is free and independent, without being a widow. It's not because we lost a king. It's because we gained Mrs. Liberty. We gained Miss Liberty. Wisdom is referred to in the Bible as a female entity. The old U.S. coins always have Miss Liberty on them. There is a reason, because that is the that's the persona of wisdom. Liberty and freedom and justice is personified as a female. Our Constitution is made for the preservation and growth of the United States of America. As a direct result, we become the defenders of right and wrong for the rest of the world. We become warriors for justice or warriors against injustice. We become warriors for civil rights. That's the only primary area I disagree with some libertarians. They believe in complete military isolationism. I disagree. If I'm living in my house and I hear my neighbor three doors down beating his wife, do I shut my door and say, that's outside of my property lines, I'm not going to worry about it? Or do I walk down and confront that? And what if a confrontation escalates? What if I get beat? That's good. I'm taking the beating off of the wife. That's how America should be. When we see rampant mistreatment and abuse of people's civil rights, we should be the first to run to their rescue. That is the one area I disagree with libertarians. I think we're called to do that as a Christian nation. Oftentimes, many libertarians are not Christian in nature. It's just part of what it's sort of a conservatism without God in a way, and that leads towards libertarianism. I believe heavily in freedom, and I hate agendas. I hate the narrative. I hate the fact that Donald Trump was trying to nominate this new director of the DEA, and they're saying, oh, he's a bad man. He tried to pass, or he was involved in legislation that made it harder to fight the opioid epidemic. Well, the truth was, he was part of a bill that said, look, we're going overboard on this stuff, and there are people that seriously need these medications, and we have to make sure that their access to them is not blocked by this. Folks, we have lost our minds. This is our new drug war, the opioid epidemic. Now, they count, and this is where things can be skewed statistically, they count anybody who dies who has any exposure to basically a prescription to opioids at all whatsoever as an opioid death, according to the CDC. You can be on seven drugs. You can be in a morphine-induced coma in the hospital now, and when you die, they're calling it an opioid-related death. The statistics are off the charts, inconsistent, inconceivably incorrect. It scares the tar out of me because these are old medications that have been around for thousands of years. They're healthy. They don't cause cancer. They don't cause nerve damage. You know, I have a friend who took had a bunch of different drugs after a surgery. One of them, I think, what might have been gabapentin, not sure. And it caused permanent nerve damage. He moves funny now. His, you know, things don't work quite right because of some medication. And they absolutely fought him on just plain old painkillers, folks. Beware brainwashing. It drives me so nuts how truths can be spun. I was reading this garbage today on Salon or something, you know, some total left-wing blog or actually news site. And it was spinning the results of tax breaks, tax increases and tax cuts by different presidents. And they were basically each time to show that the tax decreases by Republicans didn't work, and tax increases by Democrats worked. In each case, they used a different parameter to measure. They'd say, oh, in this case, it lowered the GDP. And then they'd say, in this case, unemployment went up. In this case, so it wasn't a constant measure. So each time there's so many ways to spin the truth, folks. And like I said, studying statistics in college taught me all about that. In fact, you're taught as a statistician to watch for that. So basically, I think we didn't even finish how bad people are in the end times. Without self-control, brutal, haters are good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. It talks about this pompiety. I talked about arrogance and rude, you know, it's just an extreme level of arrogance. And now they have this piety. They're pious. They're better than you. They speak down to you as a believer. You are, to them, you're an ignoramus. You know nothing. You're just this archaic fool that's bought into this old archaic religion. You are not enlightened as they are. They deny the power of God, but boy, they've got a set of rules that you can't believe. And their set of rules is completely contradictory to our Bible. And what does it say? Avoid such men as these. If you have friends that are these radical lefty activists, get away. If you're involved with them, get away. Just get away. They're not good. Avoid them. They are pollution. They are not attempting to change themselves. They will attempt to change you. They're not positive. They're not good. So get away. And, of course, I mentioned last week we had a pretty good quantity of silver dollars. We're down to a small quantity left. We've got, I think, maybe 400 or 500 left out of a few thousand. You may want to put those on your consideration list if you want a nice savings park. We've got, I think, maybe 13 to 15 old U.S. $20 double eagles, like St. Gaudens style. Basically, the St. Gaudens, one of the most famous coins, most beautiful coins ever made, Lady Liberty on the front, the majestic eagle on the back. 1 ounce of gold, essentially, just 1% below that. Very, very nice, amazing coins, antique, cost the same as a modern American eagle gold bullion coin. So you can buy a 1 ounce gold coin antique with gold, you know, close to $1,300 just for maybe 5% over, roughly like 5 or 6% over the spot price, roughly maybe 6%. And this is the cheap. I mean, you can buy antique gold coins for the price of bullion. Folks, we've got, like I said, maybe 12, maybe about a dozen to 15 of these right now. So they're going to be running a little under $1,400 a piece. Come and get them. I mean, this, you want to just save your money wisely. You can have so much upside just in collectability. If you really want something special, we've got some phenomenal Morgan silver dollars that if you build a $10,000 or $15,000 portfolio, if you just want a really good solid savings account, we are wholesaling to the public all the time. Our pricing is getting better and better and better as we can just get it. Our spread's tighter. I won't get into the details, but I promise you, our ultimate goal is to absolute wholesale to you, so the margins to you are irrelevant. There's no one out there doing this. We will build you a sound portfolio. 401ks and IRAs, give us a call. We'll talk to you. We will help you out. Balance is the key. People call. They want gold. They want silver. That's great. But let us build you just a solid, balanced portfolio. For good times, bad times, in between times, just a nice little nest egg. Folks, my son was reading a book here on investing, talking about how important it is to buy things when the market spotlight is not on them, when something else is growing. The Dow is just posting crazy gains all the time. It's very difficult to find a specific stock to realize that personally, but all the attention's over there. The rich in this world get their money by buying when things are cheap. Right now, there's so many items in our industry that are just cheap and fair. The dirt's been packed down. Take advantage of it. Don't wait around till it's screaming again and then jump in. We saw so many people do that. When silver's just going through the roof, they got to get on the bandwagon. You know, you got to have emotional hype. You can't just use wisdom. I'm giving you wisdom now. Make that decision now. Stop procrastinating, please. You can call Coins Plus anytime, 444-0044. I'm here in the evening, sometimes awfully late. Toll free is 877-TAP-COIN. Through our website at coinsplus.com, I've got the old previously recorded radio shows. And we're always here to help you. So thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.